Stories of Great Christians.
From its radio studios in Chicago, the Moody Bible Institute greets its friends everywhere with Chapter 8 in the transcribed story of James Chalmers, missionary pioneer. The arrival of Chalmers and his wife at Rarotonga caused great excitement among the natives. Chalmers had gone to stay at Avarua with Mr. Krause, who was being sent home due to a prolonged illness. But the natives from the other side of the island didn't like that arrangement. Why should the missionary always stay at Avarua? Why shouldn't he stay with them? Excitement mounted, and soon a dancing, yelling mob arrived in Avarua, demanding their missionary and threatening to run away with him.
What shall we do, James?
It wouldn't be wise to oppose them too much right now, would it, Mr. Krause?
Not in the humor they're in. They might get violent. But I don't know how we can possibly give in. The most important chief lives here in Avarua. The mission houses and schools are all built here. It's impossible to move.
If the natives weren't so worked up, they'd surely listen to reason. Say, I have it. Why don't we tell them we'll go to their village, you and I? We'll hop in those chairs they've got out there, lashed to poles, and just let them run away with us.
But what? How do
you... We can stay a few days or a week over there without suffering hardship, can't we?
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. We'll seem to give in, and after they've calmed down, we'll explain the whole affair and return to Avarua.
Right. Does it seem wise to you?
It's inspired, James, and practical. We will do it.
Mr. Krause stepped to the side of the porch and called to the people in their dialect, announcing his and Chalmers' decision to go with them. A fresh outcry greeted this statement, and seeing the need for haste, Chalmers called to his wife.
Don't be frightened, Jane. We're going with them, but only to spend a few days. We'll be back as soon as we can.
You're sure the natives won't hurt you, James?
Wait, here's Mr. Krause.
There's no need to worry, Mrs. Chalmers. Oh, the people here get excited, but they never do any harm to the missionaries. Now they're ready to talk things over.
Outside of Avarua, the missionaries were allowed to dismount and to walk the rest of the way. The tumult gradually subsided, and they had hopes of making a reasonable settlement with the Avaruas. Once they had arrived at the distant village, Krause and Chalmers went to talk with Maritu, the native pastor.
Maritu, you know that the missionary must stay in Avarua, do you not?
I know. People know, too. They listen to much wild leader. But soon they are quiet. Then we talk peace.
But will they listen?
They listen. They feel shame. They take good missionaries back to home in Avarua.
You can trust Marito, James. He is a man of his word. I am glad in one way we had to come, Marito. There is something I've been wanting to talk over with you. It's this Kava question.
He's bad. Kava is bad.
By kava, you mean strong drink, Mr. Krause?
Yeah. I think some of that fuss last night was due to the effects of the liquor. And it brought back an idea I've been considering for some time. The island has a law restricting the sale of spirits, you know.
But it gets sold anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, foreigners smuggle a lot of it in. And the natives make a kind of rum when they can't get wine or whiskey.
That's too bad. Isn't there any way to stop the traffic?
That's what I've been wondering about. Because it's illegal, the drinking is done mostly under cover. A group of natives come together deep in the forest and holds what amounts to a beastly orgy. The liquor heats them up, they begin to dance, fight, and sometimes even kill each other.
Kill?
Yeah. All this has led me to think that it might be better to legalize the liquor sale. Then when it's brought in, it could be subjected to heavy talks. Drinking would be brought out into the open, and the government could require a license for its sale.
But legalizing it, wouldn't that give it the stamp of respectability?
Not necessarily. We would continue to preach and work against the Jews. The liquor is here to stay anyway, it seems. Maybe it's better that the people should have it legally than otherwise. Anyway, on Monday, I'm going to lay the idea before the king and see what he says.
On Monday, as James Chalmers had expected, they made a peaceful settlement with the natives and experienced an uneventful return to Evarua. On the following Friday, Mr. and Mrs. Krause departed from Rarotonga, where they'd given so many years of their lives, and where they'd suffered such long and devastating illness. Before his departure, Mr. Krause took Chalmers' hand.
James, I'm going to write the board congratulating them on their choice of a missionary. You're all that I've prayed for during these many years of service. I've learned to love you as a brother in the Lord. Even in the short time we've been together, I can readily see that you love the people and that you're fearless and open. I trust God that you're the right man in the right place.
The Tuesday morning following the Krause's departure, after Chalmers and his wife had prayed together, James Chalmers rose from his knees, groaning.
Why, James, what's the matter?
Jane, I'm not easy in my spirit. Not at all easy. I've prayed and prayed for guidance on this liquor question, and the more I pray, the more I think it would be a mistake to legalize it.
Do you hear someone? Someone's coming.
Hmm? Hey, I wonder. Oh, it's Maritu, Jane. A couple of chiefs are with him.
I wonder what they want.
We come talk to Tamate.
Come in, Maritu. Bring your friends. Glad to have you visit.
I bring chiefs from villages nearby. We come for meeting. But speak first with Tamate.
The chiefs are welcome.
We come to say that we do not wish end of old law. New law say fine thing people drink. We want old law go on always.
And I'm glad to hear you say that, Maritu. I've been thinking the same thing myself, but was trying to muster up enough courage to come right out with it.
Then Tamate must say old law stay same. People always listen to missionary.
Are you sure they will? I thought the king seemed very eager for a change.
King want change, but Tamate is stronger than king. Chiefs, listen to Tamate.
I don't want to go against the king, of course. But now there's no excuse for my not standing for what is right. Let's pray together, Maritu, and ask God to lead us. If he wants us to keep the restrictions on the liquor traffic, then I'm sure we can count on a victory.
Chalmers and his supporters went to the meeting. There sat all the chiefs and great men with a number of foreigners. James felt that a trial of strength was at hand. Most of these present fully expected to see the bans taken off the liquor trade. Finally, the judge called on one of the chiefs, a confirmed drunkard, to give his opinion. He squirmed unhappily and asked, "What does my missionary say?" All eyes turned upon Chalmers. He arose and put his conviction in strong but simple terms.
"I have long and earnestly prayed to God about this matter, and he has made me see that Rarotonga needs its old law against liquor. I cannot favor lifting the restrictions. I hope the law will remain in force so long as I am in this place."
The Evaruan judge was furious. many of the chiefs discontented, and unfriendly glances came from the foreigners. But no one rose to contradict. To Chalmers' surprise, he found that his word was almost a law in itself. As the meeting broke up, however, one of the Britishers might have been heard to utter.
All right, so we must continue to bring it in at night and unload it in those dark corners. But if Mr. Chalmers thinks he's putting an end to selling liquor on Rarotonga, he's in for a shock.
It was the duty of the chiefs to enforce the existing laws against the liquor traffic. But all of the natives could be bought by the white man. A silk dress was given as a present. A few bottles of grog or beer or wine as medicine given in the right quarter, well known to all the traders, and the island could be swamped with intoxicating liquors. If the chiefs had wished to stop the curse, they could have done so. The law was passed in conjunction with the British resident that no native could get drink unless he had a permit signed by a Mahia or one of the chiefs. Mahia, however, had no real desire to stop the traffic, and he protested against it only when urged to do so by Chalmers. So it happened that the state of affairs grew constantly worse. By night, British smugglers landed their wares in remote places in the bush.
We must be getting close now, Jim.
Sure. It won't be long now till we're round the point. Then we can get to work.
It's mighty dark here.
Yeah. Trees grow so thick and close to the water, too. Hard even to see the moon in this blackness.
Well, we're round a bend.
Well, then this is the place. Pull the boat into shore.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You see any of those heathen rising out of the grass over there?
I can't make it out. Oh, now I see a couple. They're headed this way. Here, why don't we unload the grog?
Don't be stupid, man.
Huh?
Save your strength and let the valley natives do all the lugging and pushing.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Here, take these casks. Wine.
You bring wine, we pay.
That's it. And you'd better not try to cheat either. You're supposed to give me 20 shillings for this.
I bring money.
Say, who'd have thought this crowd was around? They slid out of the dark from nowhere. Must be a couple of dozen.
It came for the party. They gather fast when they're getting ready to hoop it up. Here goes one barrel into the woods already.
They get fired up pretty easy, don't they?
Yeah. Most of them get some kind of disease that makes them feel a liquor right off.
Eh?
No resistance. And once they're pie-eyed, that's when the fun begins.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they get a little rough. That's what I mean. Hack each other up a bit. Get into a pile of trouble. That's what they want. That's what they get.
Oh, here is money.
Let's see. Yep. It's all here. Guess you've unloaded all the wine, too. All right. Push us off.
Well, that was simple enough. Looks like we made ourselves a pretty penny on this, huh?
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Hey! What was that?
You're asking me?
Maybe you better go back and find out.
Go back? I should say not.
Why not?
None of our business what they do. We only sell them the stuff. What do we care if they cut each other up?
So we conclude Chapter 8 in the transcribed story of James Chalmers, Missionary Pioneer. This is another in the series of Stories of Great Christians, which come to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.